baby, wake up from your sleep. We have arrived onto the future and the whole world is become electronic, supersonic, supersonic, electronic. Hey baby, ride with me away. We doesn't have much time. My blue jeans is tight, so onto my love rocket climb. Inside tank of fuel is not fuel, but love. Above us, there is nothing above, but the stars above.
All systems gone. Prepare for a down count.
5, 4, 3, 1. Off blast.
Fly away, my space rocket. You no need put money in my pocket. The door is closed, I just lock it. I put my door plug in your socket. Hey love crusader, I want to be your space invader.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Good morning. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios, NBCSN, Boston. They're the ones that are showing us on TV all over the place. And to my left, a gentleman who's not Fred Toucher, the very talented Hardy will be sitting in this morning.
Hi. Good morning.
A little less negative in the seat than the sports vulture that we had over the last 2 days, although he was... I don't know what it was yesterday. Not that angry.
No. Am I less negative?
He had a little Romo in him. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like Adam Jones, people were yelling at me because it's like you actually made him likable. You stole away his... It's like I took his superpowers of just being an a-hole. And he was way too happy, way too chipper yesterday. So you're gonna have to make up for it, Hardy.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine. I got plenty. I got plenty of angst. I got plenty of negativity.
Good.
It started with what was supposed to be a few days off. Mm-hmm. Instead, all these fun activities we're gonna have. Look at the weather lining up. This is gonna be perfect. Sick kid.
Oh, yeah.
Ruin everything. Just and felt so bad because he wanted to be outside doing stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry, buddy, but your sister and I are going to go out and play a little hockey in the driveway right now. So you just, flutter the window shade if you need anything.
Look out longingly and just feel tortured.
What do you do?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to... Okay, well, we're going to just go out and, throw the frisbee. I don't know what you do. Maybe just drop a glass and we'll hear it.
Drop a glass through the actual window.
Drop your Gatorade cup and maybe it'll be loud enough that I'll hear the ice cubes, skittering across the hardwood, and I'll run back inside and give you a refill.
Is it the flu that everyone's getting? Is that what he got nailed with?
What he got was a fever for 4 days. And the inability to, get off the couch or get out
of bed. Sounds like the flu.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So I mean, we called the doctor, and they were like, it's probably flu. It's just, Advil, Tylenol, a lot of liquids.
Did you guys get the Tamiflu? Did you guys get nuked up?
No.
To make sure that, okay.
No, we didn't. I know it's different for, every family and every kid, and obviously you've got some specific needs in your house.
Sure.
And, but for us, they're like, if he doesn't have a pre-existing this, that, and the other thing, we're like, no. And they're like...
You're fine.
You're not fine, but you don't need Tamiflu that we don't have anyway.
Well, that's the thing, is that so when we got Tamiflu, the flu is so bad that, and it was on Super Bowl Sunday that we had to go get it. So it was maybe an hour before kickoff. And we're like, well, we got to get Tamiflu. We called in the prescription. They ended up calling us back and saying, well, we don't have any here. And I'm like, okay, well, let me check the place that's across the street from you guys. No, they don't have it. And I'm like, okay, well, can you look at your system to see who has it? And they said, all right, the closest place is Everett. So I'm like, what? So on Super Bowl Sunday, I had to go over to Birds territory, and I missed kickoff because I was waiting in a line because the only CVS within a 10-mile radius was the one in Everett, and everyone was there for Tamiflu.
The CVS in Everett is the one that still sells smokes.
Right. It's not even really a real CVS. It's kind of just like a, it's like Dave's CVS.
Yeah, we got grandfather
Dave's
selling
Dave's
Bobo
CVS.
Reds.
Right, just like just Dave on Everett. The side of it.
Written in like a pencil or pen. Dave's.
Right. And like the, yeah. the people in the back, the pharmacists, it's not even real pharmacist outfits. It's just like they got them from like, you know, when it was Halloween at Target.
Some guy in a golf shirt.
Right, just some guy.
Standing behind the counter.
Sure.
White lab coat costume.
Yeah, so that's the guy back there. But in Everett, everyone trusts Dave. So, okay, so we do have to discuss something real quick because yesterday on the show, right around this time, we had mentioned this. So, on a week from today, I guess it's a week from today, we got an email that the one and only Amy Lawrence is going to be broadcasting from this studio overnight. All right, now Amy Lawrence.
I wondered about this on the drive in this morning.
Yes. Okay.
So what happened?
Okay. So here's what I don't know why she's going to be here. I guess that she's got something that she has to do in town, and that happens sometimes. Like, you know, when I, you know, go out of town into like one of these like boot camp or
yeah,
whatever.
Right. Okay.
I'll broadcast from the studio down in where whatever city it's in. And so she, I guess, has something she's got to do. But either way, she's going to be doing her 2 to 6 a.m. shift in the studio right next to ours. So we were made aware of this. And now you've heard Fred go off on Amy Lawrence. Because what happens a lot is that we'll come in and we'll get a bunch of tweets that are saying, I can't listen to Amy Lawrence, blah, 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 one way or the other. To me, I don't hear it because I come in and I lock myself in that room
right. And
the radio's off. Whereas, you know, if you're sitting in here, you're hearing it play because Fred comes in here
sometimes.
So does John.
Depends.
But a lot of times you hear it. And so he also hears it from the listeners, and a lot of times he has to address it. There was one break that was very, very funny that even I thought was great where she spent, I don't know how many of the 4 hours trying to name her car. And it was a contest she was doing to name her car. And then you find out that it was a sponsored contest, but it was for like a used 2013
Subaru Forester.
Right? It was like,
yes.
So it was this, she spent 3 hours on something like she was going to name her used car that she got as a prize. It was really great radio.
May I present Princess Leia, my new vehicle.
So of course,
that is funny.
So of course, right?
I see the need for the guffawing.
That's an actual Amy Lawrence snort. One of her laughs. So,
okay,
I don't have a huge problem with her because I don't hear her. We went all in on that because that was pretty ridiculous. But Fred obviously does. And the best part of it is whenever Fred makes fun of Amy Lawrence, Wallach gets really quiet because they're friends from back in the day. Amy Lawrence went to Wallach's wedding.
They're second pretty much one. Best friends. The second one.
Right. The second one. The one that's stuck.
You have to really be specific about this.
I've heard
second wedding.
Fred referred to it as the one that took.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
He's right. That's the one.
Sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't the
your first wife left you, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Right. Yeah,
hard to imagine.
The mulligan, yeah.
That's right, the mulligan.
You were the mulligan.
That's right.
So so she's going to be coming in, and we're talking about how great would it be to get her in here at 6 a.m. and just the awkwardness that's going to happen in studio.
Oh, sure.
Between the three of them, I'm just going to sit back, and as I said, I'm going to watch Rome burn.
Because Amy is also aware of some of the less than kind things that have been said about
it
her
made,
on this program.
I tell you, it made for a hell of a time at the Super Bowl in Houston.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a lot of fun.
Well, I said this yesterday. I don't mean to repeat yesterday at this, but I mean, what happened was, you know, Wayne's World, when Stacey shows up, and
yes.
you know, and you see him floating away. That's what happened. Like, we're walking
Fred
away.
And Rich floated away, leaving me to throw myself on the grenade.
We just got off the air, and I'm like really hungry, and here goes, hey, guys! And she goes walking towards us, and I'm like, yip. And Wallach gets stuck there, you know, like he's in the quicksand, and he can't go anywhere, and so she's talking to Wallach. Okay, so I guess this morning somebody called in and brought up her being in studio.
Really?
Yeah,
no.
I have not heard
I
this.
I did not hear this either.
All right, is our overnight guy pulled this audio.
Okay.
I guess this was from about an hour ago on her show. Let me take a listen.
Josiah's in San Antonio. Oh, speaking of San Antonio, who's the nemesis in sports for you?
Quickly, I had another point to say, Amy. You do a good job on the show, and it just baffles me that, because I listen to Toucher and Rich as well, they constantly dog out.
I don't care. I appreciate that you are on my side, but I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. Thank you, though.
Okay. So she,
this is going to be fun.
This is going to be
oh boy,
a good time.
Okay,
a week from today.
Now she might. Now the attitude that I'm getting is she might decline the invitation to come into the studio.
Well, that's fine.
Okay,
she doesn't have to.
Do you think?
I think she won't be. You might say, "Why don't you join us for that first segment?" And she'll say, "No,
no, there's not a why. Would you join us? You're going to be in the studio. We don't want you to talk to her before we
no,
go on
I'm
the
not
air.
Saying that. I'm saying will you, Dan will go over there when the show starts and invite her in, and she would say no. That's my point.
Okay. So the thing is with Amy, I mean, obviously, as far as I remember, all the criticisms of Amy have been content-wise.
Yes.
Have been like what she talks about in the show, yes. Which we're all on radio. That is, we're all figuring out. Nothing's ever gotten personal with Amy.
No.
Not that I think of.
No. I no, mean, it I, hasn't.
But I think that there's so therefore, I think there would be no reason that she wouldn't want to come in and discuss that and talk about it.
Except, Rich, when people say that they don't like the content on your show, well, you provide the content. The content is essentially an extension of what you're interested in and your personality. So when people say they don't like the show, they might as well be saying, I don't like you.
So you can't look at it that way. You can't. And you can't last long in our industry if that's what you think.
I agree. But that's how a lot of people take it. So if she takes it that way, as a lot of people, we know a lot of people mm-hmm. feel that way.
Sure.
And it's kind of a natural thing. Why would you go into a room where people have openly expressed on numerous occasions they don't like you?
Because old flames can be rekindled. That's why. I think I just want to...
I don't understand what might be the old flame part of this. I don't understand that at all.
Well, listen, it's maybe not even old flame, but more like the chivalrous feelings you have towards her.
Chivalrous?
She said, why don't you stand up to those guys?
Yeah, she did say that. Yes, she did say that. And then buttons started getting pushed, and the conversation got ugly.
Are you telling me you've never wet your beak?
Yes, that's what I'm telling
okay.
you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's an excellent way of putting it. I wish I had thought of it myself, but no, I that's exactly what I'm telling you, that I have not done that.
I mean, maybe, listen, don't you think that you would think a lot more of her if she came on? And we've seen this happen with Fred before. It happens with me, too. I mean, once you, like, see somebody face-to-face,
right.
a lot of times you wilt like a flower, and you're like, oh, you know.
Could be.
Okay, so maybe that's the case. She could come in, she can melt Fred's cold heart.
Yeah, that'll work. I'm sure that's a layup.
Listen, I don't doubt it for one second that she might be able to make something happen.
Sure.
And here, you know, let bygones be. Maybe win over our very tough-to-please audience. Listen, I mean, we have some of the most loyal listeners out there. You know, they like to gang up when there's something they don't like, and they'll attack. And
very true.
Isn't that one of the nicest stories, though, when somebody that everybody is just convinced they don't like, and they come on, and they face the music, and they're like, you know what, actually, and
Stephen A. Smith, perfect example.
Bronson Arroyo.
Bronson Arroyo. Another good example.
We had Bronson Arroyo in studio, and we have ripped him for years for being cheesy and the guitar thing and all that stuff. And so he was offered to come on our show, and we even told the publicist, like, you gotta understand, if he doesn't know, we have ripped him forever. Like, we've said the whole guitar thing was cheesy. You know, we've compared him to, like, a dude from Creed. And he came on here and was, like, self-deprecating, funny, and won us over. And, I mean, that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, she could come on in here and spin some yarns about naming her car.
Present Princess Leia, my new vehicle.
So maybe she'll be on and win over the TNR diehards. We shall see.
She shuts down the negativity awful quick, though. She's like the David Price of overnight sports.
Right. Real quick. Right. I'm sorry, Dan. I just line two real quick. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So I think you guys should play that Kill Bill Volume 1, like, kill sound scene, like, specifically the...
She goes, you guys want sound effect. So when she comes in, it's like going to be like a scene from Kill Bill. She's got our names on a list.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's a good word. All right.
I gamma.
Do me a favor and save that word.
Yeah, man. He called in waiting to hit that button.
Listen, he was ready to go. He's like producer on the phone, and apparently he called from Australia. All right, so
maybe in his mind he thought he was
so
in Australia.
So the countdown is coming.
A week from today.
A week from today in studio. The show, or maybe not. We shall see.
Well, it's going to be, you know, running a few extra minutes every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. a little extra.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure everything's looking good.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's right.
Got to prepare myself. Very important.
When's the last time we get a haircut?
Last week.
It's perfect. 2 weeks out. Okay.
Then the hair will look good. Yes.
Yes. All right. Excellent.
Great.
All right. We will get to everything that happened last night. With Hardy.
Call the landscaper for the eyebrows. Whatever you need to do.
Done. Ready to go.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Hardy filling in this morning, and down goes Canada.
We go round by round. Jocelyn Lamoureux. Two goals apiece in the shootout. Lamoureux moving in on Zabinas. She beats and scores!
Oh my gosh. That's electrifying. That's as good as you're going to see anywhere.
That's Pierre McGuire. Well, the U.S. women's hockey team pulls off what the men cannot. They win gold by beating Canada late last night, 3-time in an overtime shootout, because that's the way you want to determine who is the best in the world, with an overtime shootout. Doesn't take away from the fact that it was exciting as hell. Had I been up for it, I did watch the replays, and that was pretty damn fun. So now this is the first time the USA women's hockey team has won gold since 98, and the USA versus Canada thing lately has been a real pain in the ass for the Americans. The last two Winter Olympics, both teams met in the gold medal game, and both times the U.S. failed. Most dramatically was 4 years ago in Sochi, when the USA blew a 2-0 lead to Canada with less than 4 minutes left in the game. So, the guy you heard right there, who does not speak in hyperbole, Pierre McGuire, who escaped this hell trapped between benches during the NHL games for NBC Sports. He always just looks like a man in pain, just stuck there, trapped for an entire game. He was covering yesterday's big skirmish between the USA and Canada, and asked USA forward Gigi Marvin about the team's recent history with Canada during the second intermission. Here it is. Well, I don't actually don't hear the clip. So, but you know who didn't like that? Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones did not like that.
What?
Who? Oh, yeah, Leslie Jones, that woman from SNL who became an Olympic darling because a few years ago she tweeted something along the lines of, hey, the Olympics are fun!
They sent her to the Winter Games, the Summer Games,
yeah,
right?
They sent her there.
They sent her over to Korea now?
To make faces and yell and record herself doing it. So here's a video she tweeted yesterday of her reaction to Pierre Maguire's question about the team having difficulty about with Canada over the last several years.
Okay, why the would you ask her that right now in the middle of a game that she's playing right now? Thank you for putting that in her motherfucking head. You know what, get your ass the fuck away from the hockey players. You know what, I swear to god, see, when I go, y'all lose your fucking mind. What the fuck would you ask her that for?
Okay, I bust on Pierre McGuire all the time. The way he speaks in hyperbole, as I mentioned, the way he's obsessed with PK Subban in almost an amorous way.
We're moving on. Character, bunch of guys. There's not a better group of guys that I want to do it with.
Congratulations. We'll see you Saturday afternoon in Montreal for game one of the Eastern Conference Final, PK.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, listen to that laugh of pure delight. It's like he's being tickled by PK.
Yeah, baby.
He's toying with me.
Oh, you're the best.
You can't.
But he did, like, nothing wrong there. Isn't that a legit question to ask?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, listen, hey, this team has blown things recently in this position. How are you going to prevent it from happening again? Pierre's job isn't to give the team pep talks or maybe even sweet smooches if you're PK Subban.
Yeah, baby.
But the fact that he's getting crap, and by the way, like, that thing has gone viral now. Leslie Jones, like, yelling at PK Subban, saying, how dare you get in their heads with one period to go in this game and tell them and remind them of how they failed. I don't get it. So,
well, it's because it probably seems outrageous to Leslie Jones, and I don't know anything about her as a sports fan, but my gut tells me she's a fan of things that are on the TV when she turns it on.
Sure.
And if you were watching NBC last night and you turn on the, you know, NBC tonight, oh, now the Olympics are on for 2 weeks and I'll watch that because it's easier than, like, poking around. I think the Olympics end up drawing in people who are not real sports fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And Leslie Jones, perhaps, I don't know for sure, in that category. And a question like that might seem so out of bounds. so out of line? No, that's a pretty standard question.
No, it's actually a good question.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? You've been here before. How have you discussed not collapsing the way you did 4 years ago? This has got to be something that's been discussed.
Right.
And Leslie Jones obviously had a huge problem with that.
Why have I missed the Leslie Jones thing?
Worth really paying attention to, but people, for some reason, they do. Like, any sporting event she's at, it's like, and look, it's Leslie Jones! How about this? I can't wait to see that sequel to the Ghostbusters reboot that's not going to happen because it didn't do very well. But either way, it's Leslie Jones!
I vaguely recall her doing something at the Summer Olympics. I had no idea she was doing anything.
Yeah, they brought her back.
Wasn't it like this big Twitter thing at the Summer Olympics where some guy insulted her and she retweeted all the things that the guy had tweeted her and it turned into this big thing?
Well, that guy was an a-hole. From what I remember, he legitimately was an a-hole.
But that was part of the run-up to make her not famous, but not notorious. What word am I looking for here?
No. Before that, like the NBC or whoever it was, I think it was NBC last time too, had like embraced her because she was live tweeting the Olympics and saying, hey, it's great. And you know what? On top of that, it's an NBC show. So you get a little synergy there. SNL's on NBC. You've got somebody who they think's funny who will be, I understand why they did it, but now it's like she's like the go-to person, and I don't know why. She's not, I guess because you get stuff like that where she yells and swears and people all gang up on Pierre Maguire the way that I'm sure Pierre Maguire wishes the PK Sumo would gang up on
him. Baby.
Sounds like you blew him a kiss there.
He kissed him.
Oh, that's okay.
He kissed him on the cheek.
No, that was legit right there.
You know, it was like, you know, his feet started floating like in the cartoon when the guy smells the pie.
The sweet smell of the pie float toward the window. Yes.
He'll be floating on gossamer wings. Right. So
the fact that they had to decide that game in a shootout.
I know.
That's one thing. Because, fine, you got to end the game at some point. And Wallach and I were talking about this morning. They played a 20-minute overtime.
Yep.
This was not 5 minutes like, okay, now we'll move on with our lives. All right. I understand you got to end it at some point. But you need to stop drawing the comparisons to 1980. I know that it happened on the same calendar date, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting that however many years, 38 years ago, the U.S. men beat the Russians
mm-hmm.
in the Miracle on Ice. But these two teams were the best teams in the world.
They have been for many, many years.
Sure. Yeah, and they've met in the finals, the past, three Olympics?
At least the last two.
Yeah.
For the Canadians, that's their first Olympic loss since 1998.
Okay. It doesn't mean that it was huge. a miracle on ice situation.
No, it's got...
That's the comparison to the Russians. The Russians lost to the U.S. in 1960. They won for 20 straight years, and then the Americans knocked them off.
Listen,
the only comparison I can see. I mean, they're similar in that regard, but as far as being massive underdogs, that's not true at all.
Listen, at least that somebody's winning some sort of medal, because the U.S., isn't this their worst showing in the Olympics in 20 years or something?
They picked it up. I think they're fourth now in the medal count.
Okay, they have? All right.
Yeah, I mean, Vaughn won a bronze, and Schifrin won a silver last night. And the super combined.
Why are we celebrating?
The snowboard aerial team is apparently doing very well. The curling team is doing very well. So they're backdooring this and moving up in the standings.
Just the notion, though, that we had to celebrate Lindsey Vonn's bronze medal. And look, she was the oldest competitor in the downhill portion, and that's cool. And everybody knows Lindsey Vonn, but. I mean, to lead with it, it's like, and it's a medal moment for Lindsey Vonn. It's bronze.
Yeah.
Is that what we've reduced ourselves to celebrating now?
I just, every time I see her, I think, after everything you knew about the guy, how did you date Tiger Woods? I mean, I look at her, I'm like, she's like, obviously, she's very attractive.
2 years.
And she's a star athlete.
Yep.
She's got a lot to offer. It's not like she's like trying to desperately to find a boyfriend. But she was the first one, I think, with Tiger Woods after all of that stuff happened. Like, doesn't that ruin a human being for a long, long, long time when you know how it all went down, how the sheer amount of women that he cheated with, the quality of women that he cheated with? I'm thinking Perkins Restaurant. Like, she could have gotten a ton of guys. Why did she choose Tiger Woods?
daddy issues. He has daddy issues. Two of them just get together and talk about their daddy issues.
I don't know. Maybe. I can't think of Lindsey Vonn and not think of that. Well, every time I see her, like, why did you hook up with Tiger Woods for like a long time? Like a gratuitous. Like it wasn't just like a fling. Like,
you're talking about a woman who, for her career, chose to go down a sheet of ice at 80 miles an hour.
Right.
Loves danger. What could be more dangerous than going there?
Right.
Yeah, wow.
Right.
Really, really scary.
The test you have to take at the clinic after being with Tiger Woods for a while.
Would say that might be comparable.
With your own physician for a while.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. 617-779-0985. Here's Wallach's headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
985 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Hardy filling in this morning. You've had a weird vacation this week.
Yeah.
Because you were off the air here on the radio, but did you do TV?
Yeah, I was on Sunday. So normally, if you're going to take a few days off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you leave work on Friday. You're like, woohoo!
Yeah.
But I had 3 hours with Hook on Sunday. Just that was the carrot that was dangling in front of me.
Okay.
Like all suffering succotash. And I come in here with Marshall Hook.
Inconceivable.
Here, Tales of the Traffic Tracker. Listen to here, Hardy. I drive the traffic tracker. You understand me, sir?
Was this you and him? That's it?
Someone else was here.
Okay, well, obviously it was a memorable show.
No, it was Hamblet or somebody on
McCone. Could have been McCone.
I don't think it was McCone.
Is there somebody who works named Hamblet?
John Hamblet.
Hamblet, yes.
Yeah, on the weekends.
Yes.
Yeah,
Do you know who that is? Okay, John. And I'm not trying to be like, I like to know everybody.
I'm with you, Rich. No, it gets a little foggy on the weekends. Okay. On the update guy.
He's new, right? It's not like somebody who's been here for a while. And
he actually has been here.
No, he's been here for quite a while. He has been here. Years.
Is he ever here during the week?
No.
He has worked for the station for years.
Okay, yes. I'll have to Google his face. I'll see if I've seen him at like an HR meeting or something like that. the mandatory ones we have every once in a while.
Yeah, okay, so had that, and then my son was sick, so all the stuff that I had planned with the kids for the first few days, my wife's taking off next couple of days, we didn't get to do. And then I got a call from NBC Sports Boston. I think Giardi was sick. I think he probably had the same thing my son had.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is that's going around, some version, some virus, some strain of something.
Sure.
So I ended up doing early edition with Tangway Monday and Tuesday, and then last night,
man, that time must have flied.
Yeah,
flew by working with Tangway.
Yeah, he is gassy. It's odd. He's not shy about it at all.
Did I ever play the clip of when we did 98 Mile one time where Tangway was involved, and he wanted to record his and send it to us? So he was at the NBC Sports Boston like recording booth. You know, they do voiceovers for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he sent me this audio, and in the background, it picked up something. And this is like, I mean, it was a joke, because Fred used to say every time I hang out with Gary Tangway, he's very flatulent. Here is Gary Tangway. I think this is it right here. Listen in the background of his recording he sent us from the booth.
It's time for Get It Gary. Hashtag, I'm really horny. Hashtag, nude selfies. Hashtag, I'm staring at your breasts. Hey, I just wrote a new screenplay.
What was it?
Just moved on like it was nothing.
What was that, Tangway?
that's for real.
Listen, the mic doesn't lie, but it is true. He is someone who you don't want to stand too close to.
And then, so last night, I couldn't work, and I like doing those shows. They're fun,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
That or BST, they're fun shows. Everybody there to work with.
Once you get there, they're fun. Getting to Burlington is a royal pain in the ass. But once you're there, it's fun.
But it was, I mean, it's fine. I don't even really mind that. But last night, couldn't do it. We had this dinner planned for weeks with friends of ours. And we're going to go out. We're going to hit, you know, the parents' night out. We're really going to go do it. And we went to Capitol Grill over at Chestnut Hill and ate so much that I got home. I'm like, got to go to bed. I haven't been this way. I get this way once a year, generally on Thanksgiving, where it's like, oh, I ate too much.
Yeah.
I was laying there in bed and I ate so much, I couldn't fall asleep. I would sleep for like 20 minutes at a time.
Because usually it's the opposite. Usually it's so much that it's like makes you tired and sleepy.
No, I ate like, so much, I'm like, oh.
It's like pain.
You gluttonous blob.
Right.
It was like self-loathing.
Yeah.
Laying there in bed, it's like, Why did you have to have the lamb chops and steak? What's the matter with you?
Right. I mean, you can feel your ribs actually expanding and the pain of your bones being crushed.
And it's like you get up the morning, you look in the mirror and like, oh, you're still disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, a night's, your 4 or 5 hours sleep did not take away.
Yeah, you're getting the meat sweats.
Yeah, it was so.
Yeah, that sucked. So good. Well, during your time off, have you been paying attention to David Price? Our buddy David Price?
Of course. Yes, because I've still been working. I've been filling in.
So, of course, David Price talking to J.D. Martinez and giving him warnings about Boston, about how Big Poppy gets booed all the time, which I don't. I can't even imagine during the year that they were together, the Big Poppy farewell tour, him ever getting booed during that year. Does anybody at any point his final year, do you remember him getting booed?
It would be interesting if, and this sounds like something for, you know, some baseball person to go do, but go back and find out, you know, find like David Price's starts or the times he was at Fenway as a Ray and see if there were games where Ortiz did something.
There was a time where when Price was pitching for Tampa, he threw at Ortiz, and Ortiz didn't like it very much.
But did Ortiz get booed over it?
In Tampa, he did, not here.
Well, that's not what he's saying.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, Price is completely wrong about this. Maybe he remembers a start at the Trop where Ortiz got booed because he was on the other team during this, but never here.
But it's almost like with David Price that at the beginning of the season, he writes down a bunch of notes of things that he's supposed to say and wants to say to get people to like him. Like, I'm going to be positive and I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to let the negativity get me. I'm going to be a good leader. And then his brain just farts and he goes into, you know, everything around here sucks. You know, people get booed everywhere you go, whether it's the fans or the media. And then yesterday, it's like, at some point, he's taunting you. He's mocking you, just saying, I want you to hate me. Listen to this. He was being asked about the Yankees yesterday.
Yeah. Here, it's starting to feel a little like that Red Sox here until the Yankee rivalry is coming back.
Sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, you guys want it. Let's do it. We hate the Yankees. You guys want it. Yeah, we hate the Yankees.
But you were part of that 08 team that kind of came in, you know, until then it was that two-horse race. And then, you know, it's changed since then. But there was a time where it was all about that. It feels a little like, you know, the two big clubs loading up again. Do you feel like that in the clubhouse at all?
Not in the clubhouse. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we hate the Yankees. So... it's building up big time.
All right. The sarcastic, we hate the Yankees. First of all, I mean, it's just condescending. Like, what are we doing here? And second of all, shouldn't you hate the Yankees? Like, if you're a player that's, you don't even hate them, but couldn't you just say, well, obviously, they're a team that stands in our way, for getting to our ultimate goal. They're in our division. Yeah, I don't like any team that's in our division. I want to beat them. It's that simple. Is it whatever. We hate the Yankees. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like exactly what everyone's coloring to be, and that is somebody who makes a ton of money who just doesn't care.
Well, here's the problem.
I mean, wrong? Assessment of his way he answers that question?
I mean, you're a little bit off, and Wallach, I know you have something on this too, but the fact is these guys don't hate each other, and I know it drove people nuts when the rivalry was, you know, still a thing, when after the games, David Ortiz and A-Rod would go out together. And these guys were friends. I mean, a lot of these guys had friends, back and forth on the team. And it doesn't sit well with you as a fan, but the reality of it is they don't hate each other.
You're right. Of course you're right. But the bottom line is, if you're David Price and you just came off a horrible season media-wise, you have to tell the fans what they want to hear.
It's not even that.
Hold on.
If you play for a team, it says something about your competitive nature and your compete level, actually, to be quite honest, to steal something from DA, is to just say, yeah, okay, fine, this is a team that we got to beat, whatever. No, this is one of the teams that you have to beat. This is in your division. They stand between you and ultimately winning what we think you're here for. And that's to win a World Series.
That's fine.
So you can phrase it in a way it's like, well, listen, we obviously are not fans of having to play these guys. We want to beat them every time we do that. And I hopefully we end up each time we meet crushing the guys.
That's part of what I'm saying. You have to phrase it in a way that the fans can get behind you. I think his agent, who I think his name is Bo McInnes, whatever.
If his agent
sat down with him after a horrible year media-wise, and whenever this meeting happened, December, January, February, and I'm sure, Rich, he gave him a one sheet, a bullet point. Okay, David, this is what you want to tell the media. You can use it. It's like Nuclear Lucian Crash Davis. He sat down, write this down, and use it when you get to Fort Myers. And I'm sure that the agent gave Price a game plan, and everyone slapped each other on the back and said, okay, we have our plan. This is what we're going to do. And Dave's like, yeah, I like this. I'm going to memorize these phrases, and I'm going to use them.
And that lasts 30 seconds.
And then you get there, and he says all this crap, and you could just see his agent put his hand to his forehead like, I can't believe I just blew 3 days going over this with this guy.
In a way, it actually reassures what I already knew, is that David Price said, I'm going to change this season. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. No, he's the same guy. But what it speaks to more than anything, and this is where the problem is, he's becoming the spokesperson for this team.
Yeah. Sure.
How did David Price end up being the leader in the clubhouse?
Because he makes the most money.
Because who else?
He makes the most money.
Who's a bigger star other than Chris Sale? But Chris Sale doesn't talk.
Well, Betts is going to be a big star, and you saw Betts when he showed up. Well, Betts, when he showed up, when he spoke to the media, looked like he was about to take a step forward and go, okay, I got to get... He was like, I got to keep my guys loose. I mean, you never heard that from Betts before.
But Betts,
this is his coming out.
Betts stands up and talks, and Price stands up and talks. Who do you think gets more response? Who do you think more people
right
are paying
now?
Attention
it's Price
to
because he's been in the league longer and makes a lot more money.
Yep.
And the video of Price saying that, I haven't seen it, but I heard Felger Manz talking about this yesterday. He said it comes across better when you watch it.
I think it comes across worse when you watch it.
All right. Well, that's fine. That's good to know too, because it doesn't matter one way or the other whether it comes out better. There's so many better ways of answering that question. Is rivalry back? I don't know. Those guys are loaded up, and they were a good team before. Obviously, look what they did last year, making it to the ALCS. So they've seemingly improved. I think we were really good, and we've improved. Is there a rivalry? I don't know, but man, it's going to be fun. You know, something, anything. Yeah. Give me something other than
whatever.
I guess you want it.
Oh yeah,
Yankees. Like so dismissive of the whole thing. I can't believe that they're allowing this guy to like step forward and speak for the team.
In fairness, I will contradict myself here. If I'm a reporter down there, I'm going straight to David Price because he's giving everyone the quotes that everyone's talking about.
Of course,
Mookie Betts isn't doing it. Xander Bogaerts isn't doing it. Like, nobody's doing. David Price is giving you the quotes that people are talking about. And it's infuriating. And at some point, you kind of wish one of the guys would step in front of him and go, all right, I'm going to be the guy.
He's
like, all right, man.
When
whatever,
you look at it, I think
I'll give you what you want.
Yes. See, now I'm seeing it for the first time. Yeah. It's like he's smiling a lot more than it sounds like when you just hear the audio.
Yeah, and he's mocking it. He's like, yeah, all right, man. Sure, fine. Okay. You want me to say the Yankees stink? The Yankees stink. No, I want you to be competitive. I want you to feel that you want to beat all of the teams in your division and you actually care about winning and being competitive. And like, it doesn't really matter to me. Because what he's saying with that is, I don't really care. The Yankees, whatever. I can
have
one way or the
other. Apathy is the worst.
Yeah.
It is the absolute worst.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's obviously, and you're right. He is the spokesman. He is the spokesman of the team. So, JD Martinez, let's get ready. Let's hopefully he's not one of the guys cheering on the plane. You know,
well, David Price went out of his way to
Dennis Eckersley.
He said JD and I are different. Yes. God bless.
All right, God bless.
that's good news.
All right, we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Andy, you're on Hutcher and Rich.
Hey guys, hey, I'm just wondering where is Dustin Pedroia in all this? Like, he's the team vet, been here 10 years. He knows what it takes to win. Why are we listening to David Price instead of Dustin Pedroia?
I think he's blown it. I think last year was a shot, and the whole situation with the Orioles, I think, completely took him out of the running as being the guy you want representing your team.
He was out front, you remember, near the end of last season. He said, but you pointing at the media saying, we don't have leaders on this team. And he looked at the camera and said, here I am, been here the whole time. And you know what? Good for you. It didn't work for you last year.
And once again, according to Fred last year, and this might be the only time Fred ever had a source, but I know who his source was, and it's a legitimate source. He said that during that whole Eckersley situation where on the plane David Price stepped in front of Dennis Eckersley and started mocking him, and the plane started cheering along, that one of the loudest voices of support for David Price was Dustin Pedroia. So I mean, is that the kind of guy you want being the leader in the clubhouse? And things have changed over the last several years, in my opinion, of Dustin Pedroia. I thought he was going to be the guy. But apparently he's not. And he's had his shot. So who is it?
Well, in terms of Dustin Pedroia, and I still say this, that you get 25 guys like Dustin Pedroia, you're going to go out there and you're going to win a ton of games. You're going to win 100 games every season if everybody just does what he does, which is show up and play the game really hard every single pitch, every at bat, and it and whatever talent he's lacking, you're going to more than make up for in the fact that he shows up to work every day. That's how he shows up at spring training. Doesn't show up when they're, you know, running around, you know, playing games. And no, I show up when we wear pants. I show up to come to work. I don't get up to go play a game or get up to go to work. That's what he does. The fact that he is not the vocal, get behind me, guys, this is how we're going to do it. If you had everybody behaving like him, you wouldn't need a leader beyond the manager.
I don't know about that.
You wouldn't need a leader beyond the guy who fills out the lineup card and makes the pitching changes. You wouldn't need anybody. If you've got 25 guys just playing the game the way Pedroia plays it, this wouldn't even be a conversation, but you don't. You've got different personalities. You've got different levels of intensity. You've got different attitudes toward the game. And because of that, you need somebody. And no, for me, what Dustin Pedroia does is enough. I think it would be great if he were also a vocal guy that could rally the troops, but he's not that guy. And I don't need him to be, don't want him to be. The fact that David Price is kind of sliding into that void, that's what worries me about this team, because his attitude sucks.
Yeah, I used to think that way about Pedroia, but until the story of Dennis Eckersley came out, and then I'm like, well, I mean, it's not that he's not helping, it's that he's hurting it. He's hurting the culture in the locker room. If he's somebody who has adapted the personality of the alpha dog in the room, which you could say that about the time when David Ortiz was there. A lot of people in that locker room adapted his personality. They went along, he ruled the roost. Now that David Price is the alpha dog, is that what's happening? He's starting to adapt his personality and go along, and that's what the culture's like in that locker room? And that's why I'm worried about J.D. Martinez.
I think Pedroia is just his default mood is salty, right? That's just where he's
chip on
at,
his shoulder, right? I mean, it's always been that way. It's one thing to play that way.
It doesn't matter if it's Eckersley coming into the room or if it's his best friend. It's like, no, I'm starting at a baseline of kind of pissed off.
Sure.
Right? And that's where he goes. But Price, I don't know. Yeah, but Price, it's more whiny. He's got the default position sure. of just kind of being a whiner.
Well, does Alex Cora mitigate that?
We don't know.
That's the thing.
I mean, that's the thing.
Different manager, and don't underestimate how important that is.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. But, as for now, we don't have enough to really lean on. All I know is that the first person that reached out to J.D. Martinez was David Price,
that's
and that's
great.
Not a good sign.
That's why.